From the great halls of their house, there are assembled three who hope to one day be the world's greatest driving heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe comes our team captain, the Vision, Bill Fisher. Their soon-to-be Wonder Woman, Vicky Fisher. Our Captain Marvel and head flight trainee, Jennifer Scripchuk. And our Batman, the master of tools, gadgets, and all things mechanical, our mild-mannered soon-to-be billionaire, Alan Danvers. Their mission, to fight injustice, share what is right and wrong, to get you out of your house and come out racing with them, and serve all mankind. They are the Garage Heroes in Training Team.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
Miss Vicky.
Yes, sir.
You know what?
What?
You know, I've been thinking about the Sentinel system.
Yeah? Tell me about the Sentinel system.
So what I was thinking was, we have the one car that's got the aim dash that's slowing us down. Because installing the aim dash is actually, it probably is easy, but it's quite hard the first time. And we haven't figured that out yet. The Sentinel system is really easy to set up. So what I was thinking was, why don't we put it in the Lemon's car? And we'll worry about the aim data information separately. And we'll kind of break it down into a project. Because then we'd have the motorsports video system that we really, really want, and we'd be able to stream it. We just won't have all the data inside, but we have the data outside, so we can combine them later. But I think that's a really good solution.
So what does this Sentinel system do?
Well, if it had the aim data, it would have all the data on the screen, and you could see all their telemetry and everything live. But we'd be able to not only record it for viewing after the race, but we could actually watch our car during the race.
Ooh, like on the monitor and everything?
On a monitor. If you were at home and I was at a track, or if you were at the track and I was at home, you know, depends on who gets the short straw, but we'd be able to watch each other.
You know, it's something I've always wanted to do.
And you know what? If you're driving, you know what you can do on the aim, on the Sentinel system?
What's that?
You can communicate to me with your hands, and I can't do a thing about it.
Even better.
So, you know, if you need to give a wave or a jersey wave, whatever you need, we could save it and see it on the screen. And you can have up to three different cameras, and it'll have picture in picture. You'll have the basic main shot out the front window, and then two cameras where you put them wherever you want. One could be on the driver, or one could be on the rear view. It's kind of cool.
Then we can upload it onto YouTube.
We could. We could bore millions of people on YouTube.
I love it.
All right. Very well. You know what the only downside I see about this?
What?
Your mom and my mom are going to be panic-stricken the entire weekend watching this thing to see if everything's going well.
This is true.
We probably shouldn't tell them.
I like the idea of having a Sentinel.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily we have maybe two. Depends on how things go. We're going to try. All right. That sounds like a plan. That's the project. We got to get that ready for the next race.
Sounds great.
All right. Very well. Thank you, ma'am. Ben Dawson, there's certain things that our team is spectacular at, and we've come up with several different ways of doing them. And one of them is driving slowly. So, however, we have several different ways of doing it, and sometimes we're not quite sure why we're so slow. Sometimes I think we are overdriving the car, and sometimes I think we are underdriving the car. Both add up to being slow, but people don't understand what they even mean. So I thought we'd get into it just a little bit.
Well, don't worry. Detective Overdrive is here. Let's talk about it.
Detective Overdrive.
That's what I thought you said when you were saying what we were going to talk about. You said Detective Overdrive, and I heard Detective Overdrive. I was like, that's me. I am Detective Overdrive. Let's talk about it.
I believe you are Captain Overdrive as opposed to Detective. You've been promoted.
Right.
You might be Commissioner Overdrive by the end of the year.
I might be.
So, neither one makes you fast, right?
Right. But if you're skewed more toward the overdriving section of that, you might be more likely to be fast.
Yeah, you can be. But you can actually get slower going too far. It's kind of like
you can definitely overdrive yourself right into the wall or bad laps.
or wear out the car or wear out the tires or whatevs. Yeah. So is there a way for, let's look at it from a couple of different perspectives. Is there a way as a driver you can tell when you're overdriving or underdriving, or is there a way you can tell from outside the car or maybe from through video? How do you know when you're,
I think it's easy for me to tell from inside the car. If I'm in there with somebody and they're under driving, some of the big cues you get immediately, like as an instructor or somebody just observing the car, is if you realize that this person is braking a lot sooner than they need to, and then they're having to still drive up to the turn in point in the apex of the corner. That's one of the easiest ways to tell, oh, we're not going fast enough, is if we brake way too early and then we're kind of having to drive ourselves, kind of get back on the gas and drive into the corner. That's one of the biggest immediate clues I can tell if somebody's under driving. What does that sound like to you guys?
Yeah.
Any other big cues that you would see in the car with somebody, Bill, as far as somebody under driving?
If the steering wheel never has any adjustments, like if it's just, you know, when I'm going straight, the steering wheel is straight up, and then when I turn left, I turn left.
I'm easily turning left.
And then I go straight. Yeah. If you haven't done a little bit of a wiggle or a catch, then you are not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree on that. I think a lot of underdriving is comfort as well. I think a lot of people get to a point where they think they're going quick and they're comfortable at whatever pace it is. And then so now it's gone, you know, it's underdriving the car because you're comfortable right there, right? So
yeah.
That's a big thing with underdriving is I see that more and more where people get comfortable and they don't ever try to drive any faster than that. And that, you know, and technically that is under driving the car because there's a lot more in that car. There's a lot more in, you know, the skill level of that particular person, you know, working with them as a student. So
sounds
I
like
see
you might
that
be describing
a plateau.
Do you think that's kind of might be analogous to like somebody who might have hit a plateau when they're driving?
Or you just don't know there's more.
You just don't know.
Exactly. It's like, so in my experience, when I started instructing, I got the opportunity to do time trial with NASA. So I was driving along thinking I'm pretty zippy, getting good feedback from people who are around me at the track, but I never had a timer in my car until I started doing time trial. But people like, oh yeah, you're doing great with that. Blah, blah, blah. And then I put a timer in my car and got out there with similarly equipped, you know, E30s in the audience and should have been able to run similar times as mine, you know, or all of similar brakes and tires and that sort of thing. They're all running the same NASA time trial class. So, you know, technically we're all kind of categorized and supposed to be doing the same kind of thing. And I realized like, hey, I'm a couple seconds slow here. I got to get some time. And I didn't know it. I kind of plateaued. And I'm sure I was under driving the car if I was able to just go out there and find enough time to be competitive relatively quickly. But, you know, in my case, I was under driving the car by a certain scale at that time. So I've definitely been there. And I had hit a plateau on my own driving and needed somebody to push me off the ledge and get going again.
So I've got two more under driving indicators. One is going to put me in the bathtub for the evening. And one is if the tires are not talking just a little bit.
I was gonna get around to that. Like if I don't hear the tires talking, I don't think anybody's doing anything in that car.
I was gonna say the same thing as well.
Yep. And two is if you're listening from episode one through like episode 160 or so, and you hear one of our hosts talking about driving the car like it's on rails.
I just like to float it in there. It feels
floating,
so settled.
Floating
and easy.
Through the
turn. I was, you know, though, you know, there was a time.
Vicky, I've seen your times. You drive very well.
Thank you for covering for Bill. But anyway.
There was a time.
There was a time when I was actually just more concerned about driving the line. And I was amazed about how well the car doesn't have to work so hard when you're driving the line. And
right,
I think I was more enamored by that. And then somebody says, no, you got to make your tires do this. I'm like, oh, so.
It's like in skiing when you first learn how to carve a turn as opposed to around the turn. She was carving a turn for quite a while on the racetrack. And then she realized, oh.
Yeah.
But the big question is, were you having fun, Vicky?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was.
That's always the central question. We always have to ask ourselves.
I was fun. I was safe.
the day it becomes unsafe and not fun, that's the day you just kind of put the race car away and
Yep.
I think somebody has said if you're not peeing your pants just a little bit, you're not going fast enough. And there's a couple of times going around the track when I cuss a little bit going around the turn, because I think I'm just like, oh, like I'm doing it. But there's a little bit of fear in there at the same time.
Yep.
But it's controlled fear. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Every time I do south bend or turn 10 at VIR exactly right and carrying a speed through there, I'm like, woo-hoo. I land my left side tires square on that gator and like, ha, cheated death one more time. But yeah, I guess I don't know if I'm nervous about it, but every time I'm rewarded with not dying, I'm like, ha, got you, mother.
I know. No, sometimes there's a couple of turns I go around and I say the F word a lot as I'm going around, as I'm holding onto the steering wheel and my leg is pinched up against the wall of the car. So I'm holding on as I'm doing the turn.
Yep. You have to brace yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yep.
All right. What about overdriving, people? What's overdriving? We should probably define it first, and then. I know it when I see it.
Trying to brake too deep and pushing yourself off track would be a very fundamental way to overdrive. I mean, just in general, what do you think? Is there a general definition of overdriving? Just trying too hard, pushing too hard? Is that what you think it is? What do you guys think?
Jeremy, you got one? I have an idea, but
it depends on the situation, the corner, the car,
the driver,
your tires, the driver. I mean, if you are a brand new student and you go out there because, you know, you did it on iRacing and you know you can, you know, whatever car can do a 203 on whatever track you're going to, and you're out there and you're whipping
first
out 203s, you know, your first time on track and you're out there whipping out 203s, your instructor should be telling you to take it easy. You are overdriving the car because of your skill level. There's a whole bunch of variables that can go into this. I can't remember what he always tells you. Ross Bentley, what does he always tell you when you ask him a question?
It depends.
It depends, right? And so it depends. There's a lot of variables that go into it.
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple things with overdrive. If you look at the performance of a car, the capability of the performance of a car, when you're underdriving, it's going to have a lap time that's slower than it could be, right? Yep. And you're getting there by not pushing the car enough. And overdriving is the opposite, where it's not getting to the potential lap time that you could do because you're pushing the car too much. Right. So there's a sweet spot right in there. And depending on your skill is how close to the sweet spot you are and how easy you are on the car. You know, Ben tends to describe his racing style as a little bit of an overdrive, but he's still kind of fast, right?
Right.
Versus the
redneck
smooth
racing.
Well, that's a different podcast. We saw a video of Biggie's appalled. And versus like the smoothest fast guys.
Appalled at, what are you appalled at?
What's that racetrack down in North Carolina? The circle track.
Bowman Gray. Okay, I got you. I know exactly what you're appalled at. So Bowman Gray is that tiny little football field shaped track. Looks like miserable, but they always beating the crap out of each other. Yeah. So that's pretty appalling.
Yeah, there was a video that Vicky's like, this can't be real, but yeah, it was.
It's 2022 and people are mad.
That's right. And I'd like to thank my sponsor. Yeah.
I mean, you're driving a road course, but yet you're drifting around the whole thing. You know, that's overdriving the car because you're not any faster.
You're driving for time. Drifting is not fast.
Right, exactly. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of variables that go into overdriving a car, and a lot of people do it. You know, you're locking up the brakes that, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. if you're doing it every single corner, you're overdriving the car. Sure. You know, if you're sliding around all over the place all the time, you know, you're overdriving the car. You're probably losing a little bit of time because you have no grip. And if you have no grip, you're not fast. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of variables that go into overdriving. What I see a lot of is people overdrive because they don't have the skill to be able to be driving that fast.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Overdriving kind of ends up with just showing itself in consequences. Like for me, if I'm overdriving, I'm getting frustrated in the car, I might just be forcing more understeer than needs to happen by just trying to push too hard. I might end up making uglier corners in my experience. If I end up overdriving for whatever reason, I'm kind of out of step with what I should be doing in the car. One way it kind of manifests itself for me is I might just start making ugly corners. I might be inducing more understeer with what I'm trying to do. Recent example for me was we were racing at CMP, which is kind of a local track to us in South Carolina. We were racing the Lucky Dog event. Luckily, they let you take I was driving one of Race Bar's bizarre handling cars. They had a passenger seat in there. It was the DE before the race. So I could take somebody out there with me. And I'm trying to get through the carousel at CMP, which is kind of this big, long bend. And at the end, where you want to really get going, it's kind of got one more big kink in it. And I couldn't get the car to tuck down into that kink. So I kept overdriving and overdriving. And I kept getting a big push trying to come out of the corner. So I kept getting the understeer, pushing me out to the exit or sooner than I wanted it to be. And the guy who was riding with me is also an experienced racer and pretty fast guy. Guy Elazar, he's like, hey, you know, if you just cut the throttle a little bit right here, the car will tuck in. So I was wanting to be on the throttle as soon as I could all the way out to the exit, but the car wasn't accepting the rotation and I wasn't accepting reality. And this guy goes, hey, man, lay off the throttle right here and it'll tuck in and then you can really wail on the exit. And I just needed somebody to go, hey, buddy, hey. Try this. And I did. As soon as I did, I was like, oh, man, that's great. You know, and it knocked some time off my lap and got me a lot better top end at the end of the straightaway. I was trying to rejoin coming out of the carousel. So that's just I was just trying to think of some examples of how it happens to me. So, you know, when we're talking about it depends. You know, Jeremy was saying everything kind of depends and exists on a scale. I'm a fairly experienced racer and this was just driving me nuts. And I mean, it didn't save me like seconds a lap, but it definitely made me more comfortable every lap for the rest of the weekend and a little bit quicker. So sometimes it might be corner dependent. It might be all over the whole track. It might be vehicle dependent, or it might just be, for me, sometimes it's just dependent on how stubborn I'm being or how pissed I am and what's happening in the car.
Right. Right.
Sure. Miss Vicky, underdriving, overdriving, anything?
Again, I think it's just when you're driving the car way too fast and you're losing grip, and without grip, you lose time and slightly out of control. So you're pushing your car, you're pushing yourself too much. Mm-hmm. When I think about overdriving, and sometimes bad things happen, especially if you're on a loaded track and you're just pushing it way too hard, just bad things can happen. So,
well, safety wise and car wear wise, both.
Right. I mean, overdriving tears up the car too. A lot of the times, you know, people don't realize they're overdriving because they don't have somebody like Ben had somebody in the car with him to say, hey, do this. You know, a lot of people don't have that. So they don't realize that they're actually overdriving the car and they're wondering why they tore up a set of RS4s in one day of racing. Right. Mm-hmm. There's no car that should ever do that. That means that you were overdriving the crap out of that car.
But the best way to handle that.
Most likely failure. I mean, we talked about this recently, but don't you think most likely failure where you're going to tear up a whole set of kind of tire free run, these big old kind of heavy ass 200 treadwear tires, is going to be if you start flat spotting. You know, if you and your whole team are flat spotting the tires all weekend, and you move that one from the most loaded tire to the least loaded tire, and then you flat spot the next one you moved up there, you and your whole team are probably overdriving. I'm just using an example from my own life again.
right. And you know, if you're tearing up brakes, right? You know, yeah. I mean, it that's an indication that you were overdriving the car. You may not think you are in the car, but that's an indication that you were overdriving the
car. Yeah. But the best way to get around that is only use one tire at a time, Jeremy. You know that.
Right. In the rain, only. Bill. In the rain.
We'll be cutting that part out. Thank you.
Cut that.
Yes. Exactly. All right. Very, very well. So, but the thing with underdriving, and Vicky's right, it's going to either wear out your car.
Overdriving.
Sorry. Wear out your car, wear out your brakes, wear out something, or be unsafe. And
it's very easy to lose control of your car if you're overdriving it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, same car, same track, same day, same conditions, it's not necessarily a time. You can have a very good driver go out in the exact same car as you and put down a 140 flat, and you go out in the car and you're not quite as accomplished. Maybe you're relatively new in your career and you can't get close to a 140, and you could still be overdriving. It's not a time. Totally. It's right. You end up
pushing yourself into making a bunch of ugly corners when you're trying too hard. So you think you're doing great, but it's just kind of compounding more and more around the track. You try harder here, try harder here, and it's not working. It doesn't yield better times.
No, right. And it has nothing to do with it. I am 100% confident that Ben is faster than I am in the same car, same track, same deck, right? So Ben goes out there and he bangs out a 140. He could be totally in control. I'm probably going to be, I'm guessing, like a 143. And if I tried to get to a 142, even in 2 seconds, which is a lot slower than Ben, I am probably overdriving for my current level of skill. And it's not the time. It's the way you get there.
Right. Yeah, if people see video of me driving, it might look like, oh, here's a guy who's kind of out of control, because I'm doing a lot of corrections all the time. You hear a lot of noise from the tires, but also that's just how I do it. There are definitely people who are smoother than me that can turn the same kind of times. My style is a little more slashy, but I also do it faster than almost everybody else I know. So I must be okay. You know what I mean? My only judge is the lap time, but. And I don't break stuff. So oddly enough, I'm all over the place, but I don't break anything and do it pretty quick. But it's weird to watch, I think.
You don't break stuff. You don't hit things. You put yourself in positions to get hit. You don't go off a lot. I mean, I'm not saying you've never gone off, and I'm not saying you've never hit anything, and you've never been. But for the amount of time, you look at it, and after a while, you start to realize, like, hey, if you're getting into accidents, either hitting something or getting hit, or if your cars are breaking, you may want to look at, are you overdriving?
Right, right.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Because you can overdrive also. Just overdriving might just be where you put yourself in traffic, right? Like just getting greedy. Getting greedy and in a hurry could be overdriving. Yeah. I did that. Yeah. I did that this past weekend at the AER race. I was like, oh, it was on a restart. I'm like, oh, I could get around these guys. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, this guy doesn't see me right in the middle of Oak Tree. And I was like, I'm going to take the dirt road instead of getting hit. You know, if I was greedy, I shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean? So I'm guilty of that too. So overdriving may not be the mechanics of you getting around the corner. It might be your decision-making too, correct?
Mm-hmm, for sure. You know, you're being too aggressive or you're being too risky, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's an accomplished racer is going to realize that, you know, but if you're a new driver, you really need to have somebody in that car with you to be able to tell you that, hey, you're overdriving this car.
Yeah.
And you know what we just did? We just made it a episode, which will be airing with the part one of our passing series with
all right
Ben Dawson and Blake Fields.
The Blake Field.
The, not A, the.
The only, sure. The one, the only.
Exactly.
The one and only.
That's right. Yeah. Thankfully, the only. Anyway, thanks, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.